Amen. You may be seated. Colin, would you join me up here, please? Colin McAllister's going to join me for a couple minutes up here. He's got a great testimony to share with us.
Well, thank you.
It's all yours.
When Harry says you have a great testimony to share, it doesn't mean that you have a great testimony to share. It just means that Harry has phoned you on sort of Friday afternoon and said, I'm thinking about you at the minute. And then when you have a conversation, he says, oh, great, you can tell that on Sunday. So I'm sure that a lot of people, when we talk about testimonies, it's all about, you know, the saving grace of God and how you came as a Christian and all the rest of it. What I want to share with you today is everyone, well, some of you know I've had a very, very, well, not me, Elaine and I have had a very, very rough year. And since about this time last year, I've been under investigation for fraud, which I can now sort of say out in the open. And it is sort of, for going on for a year, there's been two or three investigations and a whole lot of things. But sometimes when you get under a bit of pressure, you have depression, you have a whole lot of other things that come into your life, and you sort of wonder, why is God doing this to me? And it's easy to blame God for the things. And the other way, it's easy to blame the devil as well. And it's also easy to blame yourself or others. And you get very, very confused. And I've shared a couple of things through the year up here about my mother's death in, a couple of months ago and how traumatic that was. And yet, praise God, her testimony as in a saving and redeeming God. So what I have found is, especially in this last 2 weeks, I know that a lot of people here have prayed for Elaine and I, but especially in this last 2 weeks, you come to a stage when nothing else matters, that you hit exactly rock bottom. No matter how much or how low you have gone before in your life, no matter how you felt, alone, depressed, even suicidal, you've hit rock bottom. That happened 2 weeks ago. And all I could do with Elaine was I cried my heart out to Elaine in the kitchen, and I said, I just can't go through another Christmas like we did last year, because last year I was on the phone with the Samaritans and a whole lot of things, so it wasn't a very good year, and I just cried my heart out, and I said, I really don't care what happens, but I just can't go through one more year. And Elaine and I prayed. I found it very hard to pray at times like that, because you sort of say, what's the point in praying? You know, is God really listening? And we all go through it. If you're honest, we all go through these things. It is natural. It's nothing new for a lot of people. And when you hit rock bottom, you have two choices. And we read Job there. I didn't know that Harry was preaching on Job. But Job had a choice. Curse God and die. Just say, that's it. That's me finished for you. I'm away. Or put your faith in the one who you've had, you know, so many years faith in. And even, I have a wee slide there somewhere, boys, whenever you have it. I showed this one before. Even whenever you're at your darkest and you can't see what's going on, we say about hold on to God or hold on to Christ. It's not about holding on to Christ, because if you were unconscious, and I don't know if you watched Casualty last night, if you were unconscious and you couldn't hold on, if you'd broken arms and you'd broken legs and somebody had to pull you out of a burning vehicle, it's them that does the holding. It's not you. And sometimes that's what happens when you're at rock bottom, when you're, Elaine's expression is, in the boat in the storm, when your boat hits the rocks or the sandbar and you're hanging on for dear life and you find out you've no footholds or handholds or whatever, somebody reaches down and holds you where you're meant to be. And that has been my experience. I've been absolutely drained with no Christianity or life or enthusiasm or whatever for at least 2 weeks. And I had to go to a meeting, and there's two stories. I'll tell you the good one, then I'll tell you the better one. The good one is that after that day, we were led to phone a friend. Who wants to be a millionaire? We phoned a friend. And he said, don't you worry, I'll sort it out. I'll arrange this and I'll be there with you. And he arranged two meetings, one of which we didn't go to and another one which we did go to. And the upshot of it is the fella who was going to do all this investigation and report me to the police and all said there's no case to answer. So after a year, all of that, out of the way, and I could say, there's a victory, yay, there's a victory, that's it. And yet God doesn't say that to me. There's no victory there. All he says is, well, the time has come, the time has passed, there you are. And all you have to do now is move on in the light of God. Now, that is the good thing for me, because I just feel a whole weight lifted off me in some shape or form. But running through it as well is God's prevenient grace. At certain times when I've been exceptionally low, God has sent someone to me, or me to someone, not to minister to them or them to minister to us, but for us to cross paths. And one of them was on the day that one of these meetings was arranged, and Elaine and I had prayed heavily on that morning about what was going to happen at the meeting. The meeting was irrelevant, because what God wanted us to do was arrive too early and seek out a coffee shop. And we went in, Facebook again. We went into a coffee shop, and funny enough, it's the Eden Pottery Shop that some of you have maybe gone to with the church to do some pottery. Anyway, we went in there with a cup of coffee, and we got speaking to the girl who was doing the serving, and with a little chat with her, and we left and went on. And after we had finished our meeting, we came back again, because Lane wanted to buy something in the pottery shop. But anyway, the whole story is, as she served us, she asked, did I know so-and-so? And I said yes. And then I said, do you know so-and-so? And eventually we got talking. And the end of it is, this is 3 days before I was cleared any wrongdoing. God was there, because she sat down with us and she said, so you're under investigation? Yes. And we told her the whole story about different things and how low I had been. And she says, well, I wish that my husband could find someone to talk to, because he's just back from Afghanistan 6 months. He has served in Northern Ireland. He's been under post-traumatic stress disorder this last while. He can't get a counsellor, and he has no private insurance to go anywhere. He feels that he can't go out the front door, because in Camp Bastion or wherever he was safe. Now he's in a house he's not. He can't sleep at night, and he's on tablets, and he needs counselling, and he can't get it. And I said, well, I have a phone number, funnily enough, in my phone, because I go for counselling. I said, and if your husband was a soldier in Northern Ireland under Operation Banner, it's free, and you can have it within 2 weeks. She says, I've been waiting 6 months. Now, I give her the number, and I also texted my counsellor. The good news is, from God's point of view, the great news is that he goes for counselling within 2 weeks. So even at my weakest point, when I had nothing left to give, God still used me. Even though I didn't know he was using me, I just felt like a dirty rag. And yet God was there making sure that in our weakness, things are made perfect. So I have two things to praise God. One, for the situation I find myself in. And secondly, for the thing there. I'm tired, I'm depressed, I'm hurt, I'm sad. I am alone. And yet, I will always be with you and hold you. Remember, you are not alone. And that's the message for some people here today, because we do feel alone. Christmas is a difficult time for us, and yet God will be with you. Not that Elaine and I are any great, hold us up and this, that, and the other. However, because of God's grace to us, the offer to you today is, as well as the ministry team, Elaine and I will set about, and if you feel that you need God's touch today, we'll pray with you, or you can come to our house or something or whatever, because in our weakness, God has made us a little bit stronger, and we have turned the corner, and God's grace is here today to do the same with you.
Amen. Let's just pray into that. Yeah, praise God. Holy Father, Lord, we thank you for our brother Colin, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you brought him through this storm, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that no matter the opposition that we stand against, Lord, you are the one who is standing with us, Lord. And so we lean on you, Lord. And Lord, we pray for Colin, Lord, and Elaine, Lord, that the year that the locusts have eaten away, as it were, Lord, that you just restore to Colin and Elaine, Lord, more than was taken away from them, Lord. Whatever happened to his good standing, Lord, in the eyes of his colleagues, Lord, raise him up even higher, Lord. Whatever's been lost financially, Lord, restore it tenfold, a hundredfold, Lord. And Lord, for those of us here, Lord, who are fighting depression, Lord, whether it's because of circumstances in life or whether it's because of the chemistry in our bodies or whatever the cause, Lord, Lord, we look to you to embrace us, to stand with us, Lord. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, break that affliction in us, Lord, and restore us in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you. Thank you, Colin. Well, last week we began our series on For You, and one of the verses we focused on was from Ezekiel, where God said quite literally, I am for you. And today what we're going to do is we're going to begin by zooming out as far as we can from where we're sitting right now. And then towards the close of our time, we're going to zoom in as close as we can into our very lives. So let's start off with this video here.
Somewhere in the universe is a small blue planet, the third rock from a star called the Sun, just one of billions of stars in a spiral galaxy known as the Milky Way. But where in the universe is the Milky Way? A team of scientists gathered data on more than 8,000 of the galaxies that surround us. They mapped each galaxy's position and movement in space. And, for the first time, they've shown that the Milky Way is part of a much larger system of galaxies, a supercluster that they have named Laniakea. The Milky Way is nested in the furthest reaches of this structure, on the outskirts. The entire universe can be seen as an intricate network of galaxies, a cosmic web. Some areas are almost empty, dark voids. Others are densely packed with galaxies in regions known as superclusters. Superclusters are the biggest structures found in the universe, but scientists have struggled to define where one ends and another begins. To map our home supercluster, a team led by Brent Tully at the University of Hawaii studied the motions of the galaxies around us in unprecedented detail. Even though the entire universe is expanding rapidly, gravity is also at work, pulling against this acceleration. By discounting cosmic expansion, the team worked out which galaxies are being pulled towards us, shown in blue, and which are being pulled away, shown in red. This enabled them to create a map of cosmic flows, the paths that galaxies migrate along, tugged at a tiny pace by the force of gravity. Using this motion, they came up with a new way to map the distribution of matter in the universe. Delving into our home supercluster, you can see that most galaxies are being pulled towards a dense center. This is known as the Great Attractor. Our galaxy is among those sliding towards this patch of space, which dominates our region of the universe. Let's take a different view. Each circle represents a galaxy. Again, we can see most galaxies being pulled towards the Great Attractor in the direction of the arrows. Between the Great Attractor and us, the Milky Way, there's a relatively empty area, a blue void. And next to us is Virgo, a large and dense cluster whose bright galaxies have been observed from Earth for centuries. Until now, astronomers grouped us, the Milky Way and its surrounding galaxies, with Virgo and nearly 100 other clusters in a supercluster that stretches 100 million light years across. But using this new technique, we can see that this is just the tip of the iceberg. This cluster of clusters is merely an appendage of a much larger supercluster, more than 100 times bigger and more massive. But how did the team know how to redraw the boundaries of this cosmic map? Here's our supercluster in black, and a neighboring structure, Perseus Pisces, in red. Scientists defined the boundary as the points where the flows of galaxies diverge, like water dividing at a watershed. This is where neighboring structures shear apart. This is the first clear definition of a supercluster. Laniakea means immeasurable heaven in Hawaiian, a fitting name for the vast community of galaxies that we are a part of. So now we know that on the edge of a supercluster called Laniakea, in a galaxy called the Milky Way, around a star we call the Sun, there is a small blue planet, our home.
This is fresh off the presses, as it were. Science, this was just announced a year ago, this discovery of the fact that we're part of this new supercluster that's been identified called Lanea Kea. And as she said there, it means in Hawaiian language, just this incredible heavenly expanse. Imagine, if you will, that our church building here, say the foyer, the sanctuary, the lounge, the hall here, this whole space represents the entire universe, okay? Making up the entire universe, there's about not just one or two of these superclusters that she was talking about. There's about 10 million of those superclusters that make up the universe. And so ours, that Lanea Kea, is just one of 10 million. So your body roughly represents one of those 10 million superclusters in comparison with the universe, okay? We could roughly fit about 10 million of you, depending what size you are, in this entire space if we stacked us all up from floor to ceiling. Now, each one of those superclusters, okay, each one of you, all right, has about 100,000 galaxies in it, okay? Our Milky Way galaxy is one of 100,000 galaxies in that supercluster times 10 million. So you know what our galaxy would be like in your body? It would be like the tip of your thumb, okay? That's the Milky Way galaxy in this universe. Now, inside your thumb, there's about, a conservative estimate, is 300 billion, okay? Not million, 300 billion stars in the tip of your thumb in the Milky Way. Our sun is just one of those 300 billion stars inside the tip of your thumb. And so our thumb would be less than a pixel. If you know what a pixel is on your computer screen, there's, on an average computer screen, there's 72 pixels per inch, okay? Our sun would be less than a pixel inside of your thumb. Now, there's just some amazing things that God reveals to us by the way he's knit together this entire universe. For example, our Milky Way galaxy, well, we on planet Earth are positioned in just the right place in the Milky Way galaxy so that we have the maximum stability that we can have for our solar system. We're placed in just the right place so that we have the maximum protection from asteroids and other things that could bring harm to our little planet. And we have the maximum opportunity for observing the rest of the universe just because of where our Milky Way galaxy is, just because of where our solar system is within the Milky Way galaxy. And you saw there on that illustration of the Lanea Kea supercluster that our galaxy is on one of the fringe edges of that supercluster. If we were closer in to where the brightness was, the bright core of the supercluster, we would not be able to see the rest of the universe because the rest of the stars around us would be too bright. We wouldn't have the stability that we have in our solar system because the gravitational pull of those different stars near our star, called the sun, would be too great. And we wouldn't have the protection from explosions of other stars and asteroids colliding into us. So just from those few facts alone, God is for us. Now, our solar system, if we zoom in a little bit closer to home here, in our solar system, our sun, scientists tell us, is just the right temperature and emits just the right amount of radiation for us to have life here on Earth. And our sun is just the right size to give the right temperature and radiation to our sun. A lot of stars are too small. They would be too small for planet Earth. Some of them are too big, but ours is just the right size to support life. It's just the right distance from planet Earth. If it were too close, well, then gravity would be all messed up, and our bodies wouldn't even be able to stick together the way they do. If it were too close, the tides would be all askew, and we would get too many floods or too little of a tide if it were too far away. Now, on top of that, the sun, just like our Earth spins around the sun, the sun itself spins around on its own axis. And the spin of the sun is just right. If it were too fast, if it were a bit slower than it is, things would be off and we wouldn't be orbiting around the sun at the right rate ourselves. And our solar system as a whole, having just this one sun, did you know that most star systems, most solar systems in the universe, they don't have just one sun. They have multiple suns, just like in Star Wars, you know, there's two suns there. Well, that's the way most of the universe is, with multiple suns. And what that does is, it means that the planets in that solar system can't have a steady orbit because they have two suns or three suns that are pulling and tugging against it. God created our solar system just right. Even more than that, most suns, most stars in the world, in the universe, they have these little, what they call flares, when there's these little mini explosions. Now, our sun has some of these flares going on, but they're nowhere near as powerful as most suns in the universe. If our sun flared up like most suns in the universe, we would be destroyed in an instant. Most solar systems have big giant planets like Jupiter and Uranus right next door to their suns, and little planets strung out further afield. Ours is reversed. We've got little planets like Venus and Mercury and Earth and Mars closer up to the sun, and the big planets are further out. If Jupiter were in the center where Venus or Mercury were, Earth wouldn't be able to circle the sun like we do. We wouldn't have the temperature we do. Another thing Jupiter does for us where it's at is it also protects us from incoming asteroids coming in to collide inside our solar system. I hope you can see just from these few facts that God is for you. He went to all this trouble because he is for you. Now let's get even a little bit closer here with planet Earth. Planet Earth has some unique aspects to it. Let's look, for example, at our atmosphere. Our atmosphere, the sky, it's just the right thickness for us. It minimizes as much as possible the greenhouse effect. It maximizes the balance of liquids and gases on our planet. And it limits the impact of colliding objects because the few asteroids that do get past Jupiter, that get into our atmosphere, by and large, they get burnt up because the thickness of the atmosphere burns them up before they're able to collide with Earth. Our orbit we've been talking about around the sun is perfectly uniform. It allows us to know what time of year it is. It allows us to have the seasons that we have, along with the tilt of our Earth. A lot of planets, when they go around stars, they don't have the right kind of tilt in addition to the right kind of orbit going around a sun. So our tilt and our orbit work together to create the seasons and create our year. The way that our Earth has oceans and continents, if our Earth was all ocean or all continent, we wouldn't be able to have the kind of life we have. Having a moon where we have it balances out our tides and affects our gravity in just the right way. If we had a moon further away, or a smaller moon, then we wouldn't have stability in our climate. The oceans wouldn't be able to feed into the land nutrients as the tide comes in. And plus the magnetic field that the moon creates for us, it would be too weak to protect us from the sun. See, what the moon does is it creates, it almost sounds like something out of a science fiction movie, but the moon literally creates a force field of a shield around the earth so that when the radiation from the sun hits the earth, it's deflected by what the moon does with its gravitational pull. And finally, let me just mention our crust that goes around the earth, the upper crust that forms the land and the bed of the oceans. It's just the right thickness. Just like our atmosphere, the sky is the right thickness. The crust of the earth is just the right thickness. It maximizes the fact that we can have deep ocean basins to hold all the water that the oceans hold, and to form mountain ranges that go the length of continents. And what that does for us, it maximizes the amount of oxygen that the earth can hold in its atmosphere. And it minimizes volcanic and earthquake activity. If our crust was a bit thinner, we'd have volcanoes and earthquakes every day. God is for you. He is for us. Now let me just add on here a few general facts that scientists tell us. The speed of light. If the speed of light were not what it is, then we wouldn't get enough brightness and luminosity, they say, from our sun. If the speed of light was slower, we'd get too little light from the sun. If it was faster, we'd burn up. Protons, you know, those little itty-bitty parts that help make up atoms, protons. Well, if protons died off as they do and break down and decay quicker than they do, then we'd have too much radiation in our world. But protons die off and break down at just the right rate so that we don't have too much radiation in our world. And then another part of the atoms we call neutrons. Well, if there were too few neutrons making up all our atoms in the world and the universe, you know what would happen to us? We'd be one big black hole, is what we'd be. We wouldn't have a sun. We wouldn't have a solar system. It would just be a black hole right here because there were too few neutrons. Just think, God gave us just the right number of neutrons. He allowed the protons to die off at just the right rate. He made light go at just the right speed because he's for you. Now, let me just tack on here one more scientific fact here, something called beryllium. Now, tonight at 6:30, a lady named Beryl is going to be preaching at our 6:30 service tonight. So you all want to come to that 6:30 in Marlin. Well, an element that's named after her called beryllium, it's number 4 on the periodic chart, okay? Number 1, those scientists in the audience, you know what these are, hydrogen. Number 2 is helium. Number 3, does anybody know what number 3 is? What? It's lithium. And number 4 is this thing called beryllium. Well, this is what scientists tell us about beryllium. If beryllium were more stable than it is, that is, if it didn't decay, if it decayed slower than it decays, then we'd end up with stars exploding all over our galaxy. And if it were less stable than it is, then there would be no periodic table. If beryllium was less stable, if it stuck together any less than it sticks together, then there'd be no elements higher on the periodic chart. There's over 100 elements on the periodic chart. Things like oxygen, which is number 8, things like carbon, which is number 6. There'd be no oxygen in the world if that were the case. God made beryllium just like it is so that we could have oxygen, so that we wouldn't have stars exploding all over our galaxy. God is for you. Well, let's jump now to the microscopic here, and let's really zoom in as close as we can get. So watch this video.
This animation demonstrates how the digital information encoded within DNA is used to direct protein synthesis. This is a DNA double helix containing the digital code which directs the cell in all aspects of operation. And here we see a protein complex called an RNA polymerase traveling down the DNA strand. As it moves down the strand, it carefully unwinds the DNA, preparing it for transcription. Inside the polymerase, we see a single-stranded copy of the original instructions being assembled as individual bases are positioned and added to the growing strand. A stop code marks the end of the protein specification, at which point this copy, known as a messenger RNA transcript, exits the polymerase and heads towards a two-part chemical manufacturing machine called the ribosome. While the messenger RNA moves towards the ribosome, transfer RNA molecules attach to specific amino acids in preparation for assembly. As the messenger RNA transcript passes through the ribosome, the process of translation begins. Using the instructions encoded on the messenger RNA as a template, the transfer RNA molecules align specific sequences of bases to corresponding amino acids, creating a protein chain. As this chain exits the ribosome, it is met by chaperones which prevent premature folding while escorting the protein to a barrel-shaped machine called a chaperonin. This machine helps fold the protein into the precise shape required to perform its function. Although it is unclear how the chaperonin achieves this, we do know that accurate folding is essential in order for the protein to accomplish its intended function. Once the protein is complete, it is released into the cytoplasm to do its job.
Now, I had to watch that video about 4 times to try to understand what was going on there. So I don't imagine most of us, you know, got that the first time around. But let me just try to unpack that a wee bit for us. What's going on there? That's inside of one of your cells, okay? Your body is made up of about 37 trillion, okay? Not million, not billion, trillion cells are in your body, making you tick. And that's inside of one of your 37 trillion cells. And guess what? That magnificent operation is going on second by second inside of every single one of your 37 trillion cells. A DNA strand is going by, that reader thing is going there to the DNA. It's pulling it apart to read what's in the DNA. It copies it. The copy goes in and it creates a protein. The protein strand then goes into the little manufacturing plant to fold it just in the right way so that your body can do things like make red blood cells, build muscle tissue, do all kind of things to make you tick. God engineered all of that because he's for you. And folks, just like last week, the scriptures we looked at where it says that God is for you was just the tip of the iceberg. This is just the tip of the iceberg. Just imagine the universe. You're a supercluster. Your thumb is the Milky Way. Inside your thumb, one pixel is our sun. Our little Earth is going around that little pixel. And you're one of a few billion people on this Earth today. And your body is made up of 37 trillion little cells that second by second are doing this miraculous work. When you see the next newscast and the BBC proclaims, water might be discovered on this new planet we just saw. We might discover life there because there might have been water there a few billion years ago. Folks, it takes a lot more than a pool of water or some dirt to make you, to make life. It takes all of these things pulled together to make you. God has done all of this for you. Jesus, you know, when he walked this earth, he ministered to the crowds. But oftentimes, he set the crowd aside so that he could minister to the one. He set the crowd aside so he could attend to the woman who touched the hem of his garment. He told the parable about the 99 sheep being left on the hill so the shepherd could go and find the one. God has set the entire universe aside and focused in on our wee planet. And he's focused in on your wee body because he's for you. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you that you've created scores of amino acids so that our bodies could work away and make proteins and enzymes. We thank you that you've created sugar to be the backbone of DNA and RNA. We thank you that you've created fat cells, and you use fat, as it were, to make the walls of our cells permeable. Lord, you created all of the things on our periodic chart that we've tried to identify, Lord. You made calcium and phosphate and magnesium and iron and all the things that we need to live. You even created this thing called beryllium, and you made it just right for us. Lord, we thank you that you've gone to all this trouble. You've done all this because you are for us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.